Hello, and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 334, Little Things. Little things. That aren't the little things. You've heard that time and time again, and I was just noticing, I'd mentioned once before on a podcast episode how much I enjoy just sitting, watching my screensaver. Sounds kind of weird, but I was like, you know, if you literally sit there and enjoy that, that's kind of a cool thing, that that's where you are in your life. So I came up with a list of some little things that fill me up. And I sent the email with the podcast to Nico, my fabulous producer, last Sunday morning. And like 2 hours later, I heard about the passing of Kobe, his daughter Gianna, and the seven other passengers that went down in the helicopter crash last Sunday. So, you know, all week long, it was just inundated with everything that was about them. And L.A. was, whether you're a basketball fan, Kobe fan, you know, L.A. has forever changed. And it was just in the, you know, forefront of everything that you turned on TV-wise or just everywhere. So, you know, it definitely had an effect on me. And I share one of the cooler things that I stumbled upon on this episode, and I hope you enjoy it as well. Like I said, it was just something that made me think, and I just thought, you know, I'm going to share this, and we'll see how it goes. So hopefully you enjoy it or you take something from it, and you'll know what it is when you listen to the episode today. But end of January and 2020 is happening. I hope you are living, loving, laughing to your best ability. And thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. And here's today's episode of my Pro U Podcast. Enjoy.
Dear basketball, from the moment I started rolling my dad's tube socks and shooting imaginary game-winning shots in the Great Western Forum, I knew one thing was real. I fell in love with you. A love so deep, I gave you my all. From my mind and body to my spirit and soul. As a six-year-old boy, deeply in love with you, I never saw the end of the tunnel. I only saw myself running out of one. And so I ran. I ran up and down every court after every loose ball for you. You asked for my hustle. I gave you my heart. Because it came with so much more. I played through the sweat and the hurt. Not because challenge called me. But because you called me. I did everything for you. Because that's what you do when someone makes you feel as alive as you've made me feel. You gave a 6-year-old boy his Laker dream. And I'll always love you for it. But I can't love you obsessively for much longer. This season is all I have left to give. My heart can take the pounding. My mind can handle the grind. But my body knows it's time to say goodbye. And that's okay. I'm ready to let you go. I want you to know now, so we both can savor every moment we have left together. The good and the bad. We have given each other all that we have. And we both know, no matter what I do next, I'll always be that kid with the rolled up socks, garbage can in the corner, 5 seconds on the clock, ball in my hands. 5, 4, 3, 2. Love you always, Kobe.
So I'm recording this right now. I'm still not, wasn't 100% sure how I was going to load it. And I thought, you know what, let me just start with Dear Basketball from Kobe and let y'all figure it out instead of going into the big explanation before it. But I actually kind of stumbled upon that. It was obviously a big week in LA, just so impacted by the passing of Kobe and, you know, his daughter Gianna and the 7 other passengers. It was just all tragic, but specifically in LA, it was just palpable. The entire week, you could feel something was missing. And, you know, just people talking about it, people sharing stories. I mean, you really could not get away from it. And I didn't even know that Kobe had won an Academy Award. Now, off the bat, like, I'm not a big Lakers fan, I'm not a big basketball fan, and I'm not a big Kobe fan, but there's just certain things that I can have respect for. And obviously the shock of it got my attention. But I don't know, I just started looking, you know, there was just so much out there. And I'm like, wow, he actually won an Academy Award for an animated short. And I was like, so I checked it out and it was, you know, to me, just listen to it. It was almost the same thing as if he was saying goodbye to life. You know, you could kind of hear that, like, I'm going to give it all. I'm going to run fast. I'm going to run hard, but I can't do it forever. And I just want you to know I love you and I'm thankful. You know, because, like, it was almost, I mean, it wasn't that long into the hearing about it when I thought about his wife, Vanessa, and I'm like, that's when you just think the family standpoint. Like, there's this woman who was married and had 4 daughters, and one day she lost her husband and 1 daughter. It was just, I don't know, it was just so heart-wrenching. You know, it's just like that thing that just kind of grabbed you and just ripped it out. And you're like, there's just so much pain, sadness. And so when I was listening to that, I just really teared up because I just heard the audio the first time. And then I actually looked it up and watched the actual animated short itself. And I was like, you know, I don't know. There's just something that it resonated with me. It's like, you know, that's how life should be. And I just love it that you can put everything into this thing that you love. And then you know that it ends. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, like my art. You know, I'm going to talk at the hospice soon. And it was like, you know, this guy walked by yesterday when I was out there, and he said the same thing. I kind of told him, I said, well, it's a crazy story, but I said, this guy came by and said he was showing photos of my art to his hospice group. But now, next thing you know, I'm going to this hospice group to speak. And he says, well, it's so impactful how temporary your art is and how that relates to life. And I was like, I mean, there's just some people that just get it. And that's, to me, what it was. You know, Kobe was saying, man, I gave everything and I love this, but I can't do it anymore. There's an end to it. There's a beginning, there's a middle, and there's an end to it. And he's recognizing it and he's accepting it. And that was a sad part. I mean, I don't think he was the greatest father, husband, you know, up until he retired from basketball. And I believe he became an amazing man, father, husband, person, and all the things he's been doing. Like, his second half of his life was just starting. And that's what I'm always saying. You don't get next week. You don't get next year. You don't get 10 more years. And that, you know, quote that just hit me. I mean, I'm always saying this. Do what you can with what you have, while you have it, with whom you have it with. And that's, I mean, it was just so heart-wrenching. And like I said, it was, you know, you'd hear something or you'd turn on the TV and there was, you know, a whole news, I don't want to watch it, but there'd be another show and, you know, what some other person, and all of a sudden they would be talking about a story about, you know, Kobe. So it was just, you know, you don't have to live in LA to be impacted by the story. And, you know, to me, that Dear Basketball, it just, I mean, I've probably listened to it 6 times now and I tear up every time. And it's not because, I mean, just listening to it, if I didn't know Kobe had passed and I listened to it, I would tear up and cry for the same reasons. I just, I don't know. And that's what I just wanted to share. I'm like, you know what, I'm going to share this and you can all feel what you want to feel. But it really affected me. It really, really did. And I thought that was, you know, instead of just babbling about Kobe and what happened and how it's affected everybody, I just kind of wanted to play that. So that was Sunday. Was it 27th? And Tuesday, dates don't matter. Sunday, whatever Sunday was when Kobe passed, but it was the following Tuesday, which I think was the 28th. Walking Zen. Now I do a walk run with Zen. So I walk out the house and I walk for about a block or two. And I typically walk a block or two till we get to the park. And then he would walk around inside the park and I would just kind of hang out. And then we would continue and that's when I would start my run. Well, the park's been closed for a long time for renovations. So I'll still walk for a block or two because he's, you know, initially he's got to pee and smell a bunch of stuff. And, you know, I'm just stretching a little bit. So we're just kind of taking our time. So I cross my street and I start walking. And right there, I got to cross the street. It's like a little three-way stop. You know, every morning for 4 years now, I've been doing it. And it's early. It's, you know, 5:45, 6 a.m., but it's a city and there's street lights, you know, so you can see. So there's a car traveling east and west, east and west, but heading west, stopped at the stop sign. I'm walking east and I start crossing the road. Now he's just kind of sitting at the stoplight, sitting at the stop sign. And Zen and I start crossing the street that's north and south. And I get about halfway, and this car starts pulling out, like from the stop sign, but not straight. It starts turning. And I start looking. It's weird because like my head right away goes to Zen. Like, where's Zen? And Zen was ahead of me. So I kind of like, this all happening slow, like take a step. And I'm like, you know how you like you start from a stop sign and you just kind of accelerate? Well, that's what he was doing, but he was turning. So like apparently there's just no way he's seeing me. Which I'm like, how do you not see me? I mean, it's, again, kind of dark, but there's street lights. You got headlights. There's everything. And it hits me. I'm about to get hit. I'm going to jump or I'm going to hop up on the hood. And like I was prepping my left hand and I started kind of moving forward. Like I'm going to keep going, get out of the way. But if I get hit, I'm putting my left hand down. I'm up on the hood. I'm jumping. Well, no, but, and that was in my head. And then he stopped. And he rolls down the hood. He's like, I'm so sorry. And I just went off on this dude. I mean, it was totally fear-based, and I did not care at all, but I just drilled this dude verbally. And I walked away, and I was like, that's the closest I've ever been to being hit by a car. Now, again, it was on a highway. He wasn't going 30. I mean, he was from a but he was from a dead stop, and it started and accelerating. It was, you know, even though he was turning, he was like, I'm going now. So, you know, if it would have happened, how I handled it, if I jumped up, if, you know, I got hit, if I rolled off it. I mean, there are a bunch of variables. But if I was just standing right there and didn't move and he hit me how fast he was going, totally would have been messed up. Somehow, some way would have been jacked. Now, I definitely bet I wouldn't have been killed. But it was like, you know, Sunday, the loss of Colby. Here it is, Tuesday. I've been doing this walk forever. And all of a sudden, this car just takes off at me. And I just, like, the next, you know, 2 minutes, I'm walking going, shit can just happen. Like, so unexpectedly. And this is the weird / cool, but when I was like, okay, I'm going to mention this on the podcast, I was like, yep, that's what I mean. Like, I know it. Like, it was not, oh my God, I'm, you know, the Colby thing. Like, I was like, oh my God, it, the loss bothered me. The loss of Vanessa, the tragedy, the other, you know, seven passengers. Just the impact of the loss is what affected me. Not that it couldn't happen. The loss of my first dog, my sister, a girl I was dating. You know, I get the whole, there's a finite amount of time that we have. And that's why I'm like totally pumped on going to that hospice and talking. I get it. I got something to say. Loss, moving on, and then just appreciating it. But it was like right then, it was like, oh, you almost get hit by a car. Yeah, it's like, yeah, I know. I mean, it was that feeling going, yep, reiteration. I know that feeling. I don't walk the earth thinking I just got time. I can do whatever I want for as long as I want. I'm like, no. Don't mess with my time. Don't mess with my dog. The most two important things in my life, both of them, finite. Zen's going to be here X amount. I got X amount of time to be here myself. And I truly understand that to the core of my being. And that was my note. It's like, I want others to understand this. I get it. But I want others to understand it. You know, these plans and these dreams and these hopes. And one day, and I'm in a restaurant, I'm retired. I'm going to do this when I'm retired. When I have the time. When I have the money. When I... It's really, really tough to plan all these pro you things for yourself in the future when you do not know if you're getting the future. And this is my quote I wrote. It could all end so abruptly. I could tell that I knew that. I knew I wanted to tell others, but I just knew. Guess whose birthday it is today? Who I'm looking at right now, and he's looking at me. Yes, it is Zen's birthday. It is Saturday, February 1st, 4 years ago today. I rescued my little buddy. It was about a month later when I realized he was here to rescue me. And this memory came up on Facebook, and it was a video I did, and just kind of described me adopting him. And, you know, I basically said, adopt, don't shop. And for those of you listening, man, there's so many. I mean, if I meet a cool dog at the dog park, 99% of the time, it's a rescued dog. And if I hit it off with the owner, 99% of the time, he rescued that owner rescued that dog. It's all, like, they know. That's like, they're just different. It's like, oh, I need a puppy, or I need this, or there's just wonderful, wonderful, amazing, amazing dogs in shelters just waiting to be rescued. I mean, it's ridiculous how happy these dogs are when they get rescued. I mean, I've mentioned my video got on the dodo, but, you know, that pops up, you know, go to a shelter and there was this, you know, pit bull all shaking in the corner. And, you know, 3 months later, it shows this pit bull at this house playing with the kids, running around, healthy, thriving. And it's such a rewarding thing to save a dog's life. I mean, you know, you just see it continually, continually. Like, there's so many dogs out there. So please, 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 please adopt and don't shop. Check out those shelters, you know, if you're looking. And don't get a pet because you're... Or don't get any pet or dog because you're just going to put it in the yard. Or you're going to leave it. You know, it's like the, you know, I want dogs to get adopted, but I hate it when owners get dogs and they don't do anything with them. It's like a decoration. A dog's not a decoration. I mean, a cat, you can kind of get away with that. You know what I mean? Just kind of leave it alone. It's pretty solitary, you know. Some of them end up being outside a long time and coming home when they want to. You know, outdoor cats, they're... It's not a dog. Okay, a dog needs companionship. You need to spend time with your dog. You get a dog, now you got a half a child. So be responsible and be accountable and be a good dog owner. Obviously tell how I feel, huh? All right, an area of my life that I wanted to chat about real quick. I'm really thankful for it. And this year I just kind of noticed that I got three people that I'm mentoring, and just really, I don't know. It's like if people, you know, don't have money, or I can't make money, you know, charging people or training people, it's like, well, I can help that person. You know, it's like, I can do this thing, so why don't I just do it? They don't have to pay, I don't have to charge them, and I can help them. But I don't know, it's just, you know, first, you know, week of the month, I meet with all my mentorees. And, you know, coming up next week and, you know, end of the month, they all reach out, contact me, make sure they got it scheduled for the next week. And it's kind of a, you know, makes my week a lot busier because it's not that busy. But I've just really enjoyed it. And I'm not exactly sure what the exact impetus was to go, hey, I'm going to do this. But I'm just really glad I'm doing it. It fills me up and enjoy it, you know, because you're just watching these people grow. And I love watching people grow. And I love participating in that journey of growth. This is a note I wrote down. I said, people that are masters of their craft do repetition. And I have no idea what I was thinking about when I wrote that. But if you think of someone that's great at what they do, they've done it more than once. You know, it's so funny. It's just yesterday, that guy I was talking to about the hospice and talking about that. And He goes, if it's a secret, you don't have to tell me. But, you know, when you get to that top rock and that balance, he goes, how do you... And I said, just kind of got this speech. Now I just go, you don't have to tell me. But I said, just think of something that you're really good at. I said, you got it? He goes, yeah. I go, how long have you been doing it? He just smiled right away. I go, there it is. That's all it is. Time. But what you do with that time. So if you got time and you're repetitive, you will get better at anything and or everything. So the little things done consistently isn't just a little cute saying. That's the definition. You know, to become great at playing the flute. Play 2 hours every day for 10 years. You want to get great balancing stones. Go once or twice a week for 10 years. You want to be great at you. A better you. Deem yourself worthy. Start a pro you list. 3 to 5 things that you do every day. 5 to 6 days a week, because you know deep, deep down in your heart, it will provide the path to become a better you. That's what I'm saying. You know, I've been doing certain things X amount of time, and I'm like, okay, better. I've been doing the podcast, you know, 10 turns 5 today, in a month, podcast turns 5. You know, I remember when I was first, you know, starting the solo pods. I was like, wow, I got to do this. And, you know, it was just, I can't get, you know, I can't just keep having guests. I'm just going to have to talk. And is what I'm going to say going to have value? And, you know, I kind of got to the point where I'm like, well, this is what I can share. So I'll do that and not think about it. Poof, fast forward, here I am. I never think about that stuff anymore. Repetition. I always talk about the 3 C's. Comfortable, confident, convicted. How does one get to the 3 C's? How does one attain the 3 C's? Repetition. Repetition. The Hero Loves Sushi is a documentary about a dude. It's the best rated number one sushi place in the world. And it's in the subway, down this, you go down where the subway is, and that's where it's located. I mean, it's not the best location, but dude, 85 years old, is the same thing every day. Walks the same way, same train, same everything. It's all that dude wants to do is get better. And at the very end, he was doing something where he's like, oh, I wish I had the palate of that guy. Like, number one, the best, you won. Like, and he's 85, and he just wants, oh, if I could be better. If I had that guy's palate, you know how much better I could be? And that's just very inspiring to me when I see those people that are just, you know, again, that was part of the Deer basketball from Kobe. I mean, from 6 to 39, that dude lived, ate, slept, drank, lived, I mean, to a fault, basketball. And there was a documentary a while back that he shared, you know, all that supreme focus on one thing, you end up blocking out some things, and you look back going, wow, I did that? It's a double-edged sword. But again, just watching masters do their craft, just completely inspiring to me. So, getting to the title of episode number 334, Little Things. I kind of mentioned one of the things I was enjoying, and I've noted it before, but I finally mentioned on the podcast, was just sitting watching my screensaver. And I started thinking, I'm like, but I literally, like, really, I mean, I like sitting here just watching my screensaver. Not, oh, I'm trapped alone and it's okay. So I'm sitting here watching my screensaver to buy. No. I mean, I actually chose to. I mean, I could turn on the TV, turn on the radio. I could go outside. I could do a bunch of things. Like, I'm just going to sit here and watch my screensaver. And it got me thinking about little things. You know, little things aren't really the little things, and little things are the most important things, and all those phrases. But, you know, I learned a lot about my spending, my kind of finances the last few years, because my income had dropped. And it was like, okay, well, you have money, but you just can't spend it. So why don't you just draw a line? What do you need? What do you not need? And also, it's like, okay, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. Not going there. Not buying that. Not ordering food. And not having food. You know, just all these little checklists I did. And now I'm like, I lowered my overhead a lot. And I'm like, you know, I'm kind of doing okay. You know, I'm like, I totally, like, if I just got, boom, a bunch of clients, a bunch of money, I'd be like, you know, I'm going to live the way I was doing it the last year. I don't need certain things. I'm not just going to buy it, you know, because I'm a little bored or just wanted a little excitement or whatever the reasons are, we kind of just buy stuff. I mean, it's like frugal to a great point. Like, I'm peaceful. I have everything I need. And I'm like, if I made more money, I'm like, okay, now I just save it. You know, I was saving the money and going, what am I going to do with this money? I should buy land. I thought about that the other day. Total tangent. But if I got that land, I'm like, you'd have to, you know, pay taxes. And I mean, there would just be so much going on. And, you know, my income's been going down the last 2 years. And I'm like, how great is it that that did not work out? And again, in hindsight, you start realizing, man, there are a lot of things that don't work out how you have them written down. And it just turns out to be much, much better for you. So I was thinking about the little things. And I thought, well, you know, here I am about to turn 55. Zen turns 5 today. Podcast turns 5 in a month. I turned 55 2 months. And I'm like, you know, there's some, like, little things that I thoroughly enjoy. And that's the part that I like. Wow, at 55, you don't need all this. You don't need all that. You don't need a bunch of that. But this thing right here, like, literally, legitimately makes you smile. Makes you feel good. And I'm like, I'm going to write a little list. The little things that means so much. And that's what I'm happy for. The first one I wrote down was a hot bath. Now, I've been to some pretty nice hotels. I've been to some really nice spas. So I've done the whole spa vibe thing. But I'm in the Zen garden. And I'm in my bathroom. And I'm in my little tub. And it's hot. And it's soapy. And it's full of Epsom salt. And I got candles lit, and I'm sitting in that bathtub, and I'm like, it's like one of the greatest things. Like, look what I can do. I can just take a hot bath and sit here, and I'm stretching the whole time, and then I'm just laying down and chilling. And, you know, when it's now, I mean, honestly, I mean, almost every night I'm taking a hot bath and just chilling. I'm like, it's the best. I'm like, I just get to do this. You know, to me, it's free. I don't have to go pay anything. I don't have to go to a spa. I don't have to go to a hotel. But I really, really, and again, I just like, oh, it's a luxury. So I worked at a grocery store for a long time, and you face all the labels forward, and I've always kind of sort of just done that. If I have it with, you know, stuff in my cupboards or fridge, just, I think, so I can see them. But it's probably a splash anal when you open my fridge and everything's facing the front. But I like to have, like, doubles. Like, if I have a bottle of lotion, I want a second one. If I have a bottle or a thing of toothpaste, I want a second one. Like, I want the backup. I don't want to be, oh, I'm out of this. Oh, I'm out of that. Oh, I got to. So, like, when everything's full, not full, but I'm like, oh, I got the backup. Oh, I got four of those. Oh, look at that. I'm good for a few days. So I open up my fridge, and just the front of it, not all the way back, my food would go bad, is flush. I'm like, oh, I and it's legitimate. Like, I mean, you know, I've lived a long time, and I remember being in places and times and moments and, you know, just feeling like I'm going to die without something. And you fast forward, and I'm right now, you know, needing the least amount. Like, I need not. And that's just a great feeling, but it makes these little things that much more dope. So I just paid rent. And when I pay rent and I have the money, it's a really, really good feeling. But then if there's extra, it's just like, it is just like, all right. And again, I don't go out and spend it. I don't, but it's such a peaceful, like when I'm saying it, like, again, there's like a stop, pause, and it's like, Tom, do you feel that? I'm like, yes, that's tangible. I know. Make a note of that. Like, it's just such a good, it's all I kind of, you know, it's all I'm really trying to do. Cool, paid rent, good for another month. You know, I'm trying to stay present, try moment to moment. You know, just day by day. So, rent's paid. That's like this clear mind for another 30 days. So again, a lot of these are just, I think, statements of where I am. But I dig where I am. Now, this is a little thing in one sense, but very hard to attain in the other. The quiet in my head. So if I'm just sitting there and all of a sudden I notice I'm not thinking or something's going on, I'm like, wow, I just got nothing in my head. It's just, like, again, 48 years of a constant buzz. White noise, conversation, critique, judgment. And now, hugely decreased, if not completely gone. And it's just like, again, when I'm sitting here watching the screensaver, why can I do that? I'm not in my head. Why can I sit in the quiet? Because I'm not in my head. You don't like thinking. You don't like the thoughts that are in your head. You don't want quiet, and you don't want to be sitting still. It's the trade-off. So, speaking of the birthday boy, you know, I don't talk a lot. I mean, when I'm talking, I do talk a lot. But throughout the day, I don't talk a lot. And, like, the best moments with Zen, like, we do that morning walk, run, and there's sometimes, you know, it's about a half an hour, and there's sometimes we don't talk. You know, if I get ahead of him or he gets ahead of me, like, hey, Zen, come here. Zen, come on. You know, but there's just times where we just don't even talk. Or I don't talk. I love that. You know, it's just the quiet, but it's like, I'm fully aware that's different. And the fact that I'm enjoying it is different. And I'm like, and that's just the cool thing. Like, I can just sit there and just be like, I mean, I can't tell you how many times at night. And this is, again, way different than the first 50 years. You know, it's like the TV was on, and the stairs, something was on. And it'd be 7 o'clock, and I'll kind of get done with everything or eating or whatever I'm doing, and like, okay, turn the TV on, put a movie on. I'm like, I just want to lay here. I just pull a pillow up next to Zen. I kind of lay down on the floor. It's like totally quiet, and it's 7 o'clock, and I'll just lay there. I'm not trying to fall asleep. I just don't want any noise. I just don't want the TV. I don't want any, you know what I mean? Like, anything else hitting any of my senses. I just want to be chill. Just, I'm going to be quiet for a little bit. Like, I'm just going to enjoy being quiet. And there doesn't have to be a long time. It doesn't have to be a set amount of time. But I'm like, that's what I'm going to do right now. And then I stop. And I'm like, dude, you're just enjoying the quiet. And that again, that stepping back going, I love that. I love that. But Zen just, the littlest things he does will just make me laugh. And I'll laugh out loud. And I'm like, that's the only time I laughed today. It's because of Zen. Or he'll do something silly. Or he'll do something super cute. And it's like this, his littlest things will fill me up. And I'm like, I love that. Again, where I am in my life, like that. I mean, time stops with Zen. You know, his littlest things fill me up. Make me smile. So, kind of dealing with that fully faced fridge / anal thing. But like when Zen Garden's like, you know, clean, everything's organized, and like I walk in the door and the sun's coming through and the fountains are on. You know, I said it before, I love the Zen Garden, but it's like the feeling of it, like what, and I'm at a place where I'm aware of the feeling I get when I walk into my home. Or it's a day like today where I'll kind of be coming and going and working outside a little bit, and then I'll be some kind of in and out the whole day, and the doors are open and the windows are open, and you know, it's nice and the air is blowing through, and I'll just like walk in like, you know, 15, 20 times. But once I'll walk in, I'll just stop and I'll be like, wow, I like this. And again, how your home feels. Maybe that's a little thing. Maybe it doesn't matter. But to me, it's cool how much it affects me and how much I like it. Which is kind of what I'm saying about, you know, my home. Like, I'm pretty cool that I don't need a, you know, I've been to some big homes. You know, I've been to some really nice homes. And, you know, I'll drive a different way to a client. So I'm like, see all these, just, I've always been into architecture. So those places I see and I'm just like, man, I think mine's plenty big to clean and dust and tidy up and vacuum. I don't want anything bigger. Like, I just love it, and it's perfect. And I walk in, and I don't know, it just seems to continually evolve, you know? Like, some big changes or some big things. Like, everything is kind of done, but now there's just some little things happening continually. And I do. I just love my home, and it is not a log cabin on a lake. You know what I mean? It's not a home in Malibu on the beach. Studio apartment in Hollywood, and I love it. Going to the beach, you know, I don't know if that's a little thing. A bunch of people here probably think they could or couldn't, so it's probably a little thing to a bunch of people. Like, but when I get there, it's the best place in the world for me. Like, I don't think, my mind shuts off. And it's like a couple things I kind of, like, you know, get up in the morning and, you know, I was buying food. And I was like, well, I'll just make a sandwich. I'll just bring a thing of yogurt for Zen and I to share. I'll bring a protein bar. I'll make a couple sandwiches for the ride home, you know, cut down on the spending the money. And that was a while ago, but it was something I did. And I'm like, okay, I'll do that. And then I might get gas. And then I'm like, kind of know when I'm going. So the night before, I'll make the sandwich. I'll get everything ready. And I'll get gas the day before. So I get up in the morning. And I'm like, we just get to go. And I'm like, all pumped. Because like, I decided last night, so I'm not in my head. I'm not questioning it at all. It's all, and just like I'm like a little kid, all excited. You know, the car's all ready. Food's all ready. I just get to get in the car and go. And lately, just been, you know, I leave at 9:30-ish, get there a little bit before 11-ish. So, you know, sometimes hour and 15 to get there. And if it's high tide, it will get lower between 11 and 1. And that's almost every time now. So I'm starting to kind of really hit it. But yesterday I went, there was low tide and a bunch of sand. I had a bunch of time and gathered a bunch of stones. And it just had this, and I'm like, man. I mean, if you say, oh, going to the beach, that's not a little thing. Well, if you don't live by the beach, you probably have to take off work and travel, and that is a big thing. But if you're close to the beach, you can drive to the beach. Maybe it's not that big a thing. But like I said, it's a little thing, and it just, it's everything to me now. It is really, you know, like talking about flaming in the fires. Me going to that beach, my art, where it's at, what's happening, the people I'm meeting, how I'm into it and appreciate it. Don't have all the words to describe it, but that is how much I love and appreciate the beach. Now, the ability to recognize and do all these things must mean that I'm in a good place, and it, to me, it's about health, and it's not a little thing, but I keep saying to myself, like last night, I think I woke up twice. I don't think I laid on the floor with Zen at all. And I didn't foam roller at all. And I'm talking, you know, Ben, you're going to be 7 years. And still haven't really slept through the night. And, you know, sometimes it's cool and I'll just get on the floor with Zen. I'll lay there for a while, and I don't mind. I'll get up, and I don't mind it now. It's almost like I don't care, so it doesn't bother me. It's like, oh, I'm up. I got a FOMO. It's like, just do it and then go back to bed. And I was peace with it. But I don't want to get to the point where it's like, oh, yeah, now I don't FOMO, or now I sleep through the night. What else do I want? What do I need to do now? I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You'd get up two or three times to foam roller. You'd get up and go outside. You'd go outside and stretch and go for a walk, trying to get your body calmed down so you could sleep. I mean, it is huge what's happening for me at night. Like, I just feel so much calmer. You know, that anxiety and that panic and, you know, things kind of correlated to the dentist and to my neck and to all this stuff. It's just, man, there's a lot more calm in, like, every aspect of my life. And to me, that's kind of like part of your health. You know, if you're stressed, it's affecting your health. If you're in your head, it's affecting your health. If you're worried all the time, it's affecting your health. If you're appreciating the little things, if you're thankful every day, if you're walking the earth with an attitude of gratitude, I believe in my heart that's going to help. Maybe not tangibly, maybe not on paper, but it will help your well-being, your health. So if you're eating great and working out great and low body fat and exercising, but you're not happy, you don't like yourself, you don't like your life, it's a big, 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 heavy, gnarly contradiction. You know, and I believe that was kind of like my sister dealt with Tammy. And she had everything, and she was so angry and upset and wanted different, and just struggled with reality, and poof, she got sick. And then she started losing things. And then she gained focus and perspective. And that's what I learned from watching her. So when I have peace of mind, I'm thinking, healthy mind, healthy body. And when I am comfortable in my skin and I am confident in who I am and convicted in my words and my actions, it's just less stress. Less stress, better health. Better health, better life. And to me, that's the pro you path. I want to be better mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Not bigger, faster, stronger, but a better me tomorrow than I am today, next year than I am now. And I know I can, because all of that which I'm trying to attain lies within. Everything that I've gained, have, you know, acknowledged, has identified, has come from within. I didn't go to a school the last 6 years. I didn't go talk to a counselor, a therapist. I didn't go do anywhere. Just started getting rid of the yellow, focusing on the purple. That grew. When the purple grows, becomes a little bit more identified. You start flaming the right fire. That fire grows. You become thankful for it. You focus on it. It starts glowing. It's easier to focus on and grow when you're flaming it, and so on and so on and so on. And there it is. Repetition. What I spoke about before. Now you're starting to master it because you're just doing them, not because you like how it feels. So go ahead. For homework, 10 things, 10 little things in your life that you maybe do take for granted and don't think about, but you want to. You want to just stop and pause and go, you know what, I just want to take a moment to say that I'm thankful for this thing. And it's not little, it's a big thing. Because if I couldn't do it, if I didn't get to do it, if I didn't have it, it would definitely be a negative then. So let me be thankful for those little things in my life that I get to do. Because you are worth it. crow you moment. So glad you're here. Thankful you're here. Thankful that you are you and striving to be a better you. So let us begin this pro you moment as we do every pro you moment. Controlling that which we can control. Seated on the floor, legs folded, crossed if we can. Eyes closed. Neutral neck, shoulders over the hips, navel tucked into the spine. That will be our point of origin. We will hold that position. As we now connect the mind and body, how do we do that? We will focus on our breath. We will draw the inhale through our nose. We will exhale out the mouth. Elongate it, slow it down. Now we have intention. Now we are executing a plan. We're controlling it. We're maintaining it. We're monitoring it. We are staying connected. Therefore, we are present. This will be your point of focus. Anything else hops into the space between your ears, quietly, calmly ask it to leave and return to your breath. Do this to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Congratulations on another successful pro-you moment. Little things done consistently. We've had the opportunity for 334 pro-you moments. Hopefully you're getting more comfortable, more confident, more convicted. Proving the theory. You don't have to be different than who you are. You don't have to be better than who you are. But if you start today, believe in yourself, have some faith, and you do something little today, and again tomorrow, and again the next day, you will simply, truly, inevitably get better at that. And it is deeming yourself worthy of that faith, that belief, and doing those little things consistently. That's why I do what I do. That's why I'm talking to you now. That's why I'm sharing my story. Haven't had the worst life, haven't had the best life, but I'm responding better. I don't have a lot, but I appreciate that which I have. I don't need a lot, because I have what I consider a lot. And it may be little things to others. But again, that's why it's called Pro You. It's about you, for you, by you. So if you're doing it for you and you like it and you feel better, end of story. There need not be anything else involved other than you feeling better and you believing in yourself. But that's what it's all about. So become aware of those little things. Be mindful of those little things. Be thankful of the little things, because they're truly not the little things. They will be the things you miss when they're gone. Peace and God bless.